filling your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios, what a pleasure it is to be spending this time with you. I am Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom today and every Monday through Friday. Today and every day, Monday through Fridays, you can hear Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, which of course is the daytime operation of the Armed American Radio Network, now heard in a couple dozen cities across the country and growing. Understand we're adding Abilene, Texas to that mix. I believe sometime latter part of this month, maybe beginning of August, they'll also be joining the big Monster Sunday show as well. So it's great to have them with us. I'll give you some more information when that comes up. You can check us out on social media at Armed American Radio on Facebook, facebook.com/Armed American Radio. Tweet me at any time, particularly during these broadcasts, at AAR Mark, at AARMARK, or at AAR Radio. Best to reach me on air at AAR Mark as we monitor the Twitter feeds. You can also reach me by email, mark@armedamericanradio.org. I have some good ones to get to in the next hour of this program. We are talking to what is probably the single greatest lineup consisting of four of the most powerful men in the pro-freedom, pro-rights, pro-gun movement in American history that I can think of, particularly modern history. The first hour saw Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. He was followed by the great Dr. John Lott. John Lott, Fox News contributor, New York Times best-selling author, economist, famed economist, and he is the founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center at crimepreventionresearchcenter.org. You can read everything they do at crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org. You can also visit Allen and the Second Amendment Foundation at saf.org. And I got to tell you, with what's getting ready to happen over the course of the next 14 to 15 months, you are going to want to join every organization you can, donate whatever you can, no matter how little or how much it is. Please help as we move through the most dangerous waters of the most anti-gun administration in the history of this country. Next, Alan Corwin, who happens to be a very close friend of mine. You know Alan from gunlaws.com. Alan is the author of over 13 books. He is a speaker, an activist, a writer, a journalist, and someone who is probably more knowledgeable on the subject of the right to keep and bear arms than just about anybody I know. Alan joins us from Phoenix, Arizona. Alan, welcome to the program, my friend. Thank you for being here and really from swapping out the segments. I appreciate it. How are you doing today?
Always a pleasure to be with you, Mark. And as you know, I'm sitting here in a very special circumstance.
You are in a special circumstance. You know, let's go there before we go to all the gun stuff. You know, Alan, next month, August, I believe, 7th? I may be mistaken. Is this the 7th? I'll have to check. I'm working off of memory. But is the anniversary of the Battle of Guadalcanal?
The anniversary of Guadalcanal. Wow.
Isn't that something? And here, you know, here we have Marines killed on American soil, the very Marines that fought throughout the Pacific Islands, Peleliu, Tarawa, Iwo Jima, Guadalcanal, and on and on and on, the heroes of the greatest generation. And I know that you're sitting outside Phoenix, Arizona right this moment with a World War II hero who happens to be your father. Am I right?
I'm amazed that you said World War II hero, because we were talking about that. We were talking about that a minute ago, because I want to get him on the air with you. The connections we have here aren't going to work, but after the break, we will. Hero is a word that's getting overused, Mark, because as he pointed out to me, you have to do something heroic to be a hero. And the way the administration and the politicians are running the army and the military now, everybody's a hero. And it's nonsense. It is nonsense. You're a hero if you do something heroic. And pardon me for saying this, Mark, but getting killed by a jihadi makes you a victim. It does not make you a hero. You have to do something heroic. And he didn't want to have to say that on the air, and I don't blame him, but I'll say it for him. You have to do something heroic. Simply enlisting, simply joining up, doesn't make you a hero. It means you're serving your country, and that's important. But there's a difference between being a victim of a bottom-feeding maggot like a guy named Mohammed that our administration won't recognize as an enemy of the nation and wants to dither and hem and haw and backpedal and not recognize as the enemy of the nation that he is, and do an investigation with 100 investigators, 100 investigators, when everybody listening to this show knows it's an enemy of the nation. A guy named Mohammed doesn't shoot at a military station and then claim to be a criminal. He's not a criminal. He's an enemy of the nation. And the people he shot are victims. They're not heroes. They're victims. It's terrible. It's tragic. My heart goes out. But the president should stand up and say, for every one of us you kill, we're going to kill 100 of you and stop this nonsense. That's what's going on. When my dad read the paper, he's a World War II veteran. He taught radar. He taught radar countermeasures. He had top security clearance. He served his nation. He enlisted when everybody was being drafted. He saw the paper, and I saw it, and they said, we got to do something for these heroes. And we looked at each other. Heroes? These victims? What did they do exactly that was heroic? And we had a hard time figuring that out for about a second.
Always provocative and always makes you think. Alan, I'll tell you this. I appreciate and respect your father's humbleness, no doubt about it. But I'll continue to look at him as a hero for what he did, and to me, heroic, going to battle and storming those beaches as a U.S. Marine during World War II. It's a great conversation. Boy, I'll tell you, it's what I love having you on
well,
the show for.
He didn't storm beaches or go into battle that way. He taught radar. He had a decided effect on the outcome of the war. But he even feels a little guilty about knowing that guys were going over there and risking their lives while he was teaching radar with top secret clearance and developing or teaching radar countermeasures. And they actually did things to keep him available with other top guys so that we could teach radar and have more guys spotting German planes coming over to England and spotting what radar does in the very early days, Mark, at
right.
50 kilohertz.
Right. Kilohertz. Far cry from where we are today. Alan, you just made some statements about where you are, your position on what happened in Chattanooga, very, very clear, as I knew you would. That's why I wanted you on here to talk about this. I want to know what the first, I've asked this of Alan Gottlieb, I asked this of John Lott prior to you, I'm going to ask you now, what was the first thing you thought when you heard the news, and it was confirmed, that there had been an attack on our military in Chattanooga, right up the road from these Crossbreed Holster studios? What was the first thought that went through Alan Corwin's mind?
Well, it was another jihad attack. It was part of the global jihad. Nobody shoots up a Marine recruiting station, a military recruiting station, because they're looting a liquor store. I mean, this is going on all over the country. I didn't have to wait to hear the guy's name was Mohammed or Hussein or anything like that. I knew what it was immediately. And when I turned on the TV and finally saw it, I got all the news they had in about 15 seconds, and there was just lots of repetition, which is what the news has become today.
Exactly.
It preempted any other news. There was no other news. What's happening in Chad where they're training jihadis? Nothing. Nobody tells you. You can't find that in the news. We get no news. It's terrible.
Yeah, well, you know my thoughts on the media, and you're absolutely right. When one of these stories or a story of this magnitude, I should say, let me clarify my articulate that better, but when a big story breaks, you know what's going on in the first 2 to 3 minutes. You might as well turn on a Brady Bunch sequel and wait for a few hours, because all they're doing is repeating what they don't know.
Absolutely.
And speculating and causing rumor and innuendo. And that's what blows a lot of these stories out, and they have to go back and correct themselves on air.
You can do so that. And my daughter taught me a phrase when she was a little kid. As a father, I would say something, and she'd look at me and say, you don't know that. And she would say it to me a lot. And I realized I would speculate, I would dream it up, I would say something to placate her. And then when we watch the news, she would say the same thing. She'd say, he doesn't know that. And now exactly. I can watch CNN or Fox or any of the networks or even C-SPAN, which is usually pretty good, and go, you don't know that.
You don't know that, and you would be absolutely right. It's a great place to take a
watch
break.
TV. Ladies, listeners, go to my website, gunlaws.com.
Gunlaws.com. Go to gunlaws.com. Alan, hold on a second. We're getting ready to take a break. That's what that music means. When we come back, we're going to continue the discussion. I think we're going to meet Alan's dad. I'll turn the mic over to him and let him talk to his father, and you get to hear it. Great to be here with a World War II veteran hero in my book here on the Armed American Radio Network. Back with Alan Corwin right after this.
Hey, you've heard me talking about my proud membership with the United States Concealed Carry Association. They're the organization that protects responsible gun owners like you and me from jail and bankruptcy if, God forbid, we're ever forced to use a weapon in self-defense. Now, I want to share with you an incident that happened to another member of the USCCA. Now, this member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted with a baseball bat in front of his yard. Now, he drew his weapon to stop the threat and save his neighbor's life, and he was arrested and held on a massive bail bond. He never fired a shot. Well, he used his one call that he got to the USCCA. Not only did they post his bail, find him an attorney, they got him home to his family and also had him home in time to go to work on Monday. Now, the USCCA has a free guide that I want to give you today that's going to arm you with 18 things that you absolutely must know before leaving your house with a gun. Now, simply go to defendfamily.com right now to get your free copy of this life-saving guide. Defendfamily.com. Again, that's defendfamily.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Car Arms introduces the new addition to their double-action micro-compact pistol line, the CW380, with a 2.5-inch barrel, an overall length under 5 inches, and standing under 4 inches tall. The CW380 weighs just 10.2 ounces, making it the perfect choice for lawful concealed carry. The micro-compact CW380 allows rapid-fire follow-up shots with little recoil and retails for under $420. The new CW380 from Car Arms. Carry one today. Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
For more information and to join the conversation, please visit Armed American Radio on Facebook and armedamericanradio.com. And now, from the Crossbreed Holster Studios, here is Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios, an absolutely incredible program for you today with four of the most powerful voices in the pro-freedom movement ever in America. That means, in my eyes, in American history. These are men so powerful within the movement and the right to keep and bear arms that they make change happen. They elicit change. They elicit response. When you join Alan Corwin's gunlaws.com, you become a part of that. His books make a difference. That's why people write about his books and talk to him and interview him. It's why he's on this program. These people have the ability, like John Lott, to testify in front of Congress, Senate panels, to tell the truth about the right to keep and bear arms. These are very important people, and all four of them, Alan Gottlieb, John Lott, Alan Corwin, and coming up next, Larry Pratt. I believe in the last hour I said it in the reverse order, but that's okay. They're the same four people who are here today to give you their opinions on where we are in this country. And I'm very fortunate to have Alan Corwin on the line right now. Alan, I want to welcome you back to the show. And you have somebody very special here, and that's your father, number one. And number two, a very quick story. When I was in Arizona 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to meet a Marine World War II veteran at the Hyatt I was staying at. And it was an honor, and it was a fascinating conversation. And you're blessed to have your father, and we're all blessed to have your father here. I guess you're going to put your father on an extension, and I'm going to turn it over to you. You have a couple questions for your dad. Take it away. Do it on live radio.
Okay. He's on. He may be having a little trouble hearing, but I can hear him. My dad was in the war, in World War II, as a radar instructor and a radar countermeasures instructor. Dad, go ahead and say hello.
Hello.
Can you hear him okay, Mark?
I can. A pleasure to have you here, sir. Go ahead, Alan.
Now, we were saying something to Sean about people who say thank you for your service. He's not real happy with that. What do you think about that, Dad?
Well, when we joined up in World War II, we were doing our duty. We didn't think of ourselves as heroes to be thanked. We just had a job to do to protect our country. Same thing now. Why are we taking all the guys who are joining up and thank you for your service? Well, that's okay, but it's not what we're doing. We're joining up because we serve our country. That's the idea, isn't it? Do we have to be thanked for serving our country?
It's a good point.
That's a great question. May I attempt to answer that?
Of course.
Because millions of us don't have the cojones to do it.
Can you hear him, Dad? He doesn't hear what you're saying. He said, because a lot of people don't have the cojones to do it.
We do thank you for doing that. And that humbleness speaks volumes to the quality of individual who defends this nation. And I am, for one, am honored to hear him say it, and I'm honored to hear him say it on this program.
And what he's saying is that it's pablum. It's almost silly. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. It's like what you're supposed to do. But isn't that it, Pop?
Yeah, I hear that. And you know what else I was concerned about? I haven't heard anything about outrage from the Muslim community. At least it hasn't been reported, as far as I can see.
You were telling me you think we're at war.
Yes, and I've been saying for years, we're at war with the Muslim community, and we have to recognize that we are at war with them, and something has to be done about it. It has to be recognized and handled.
Are the officials describing it? Are they saying it?
What?
Are the officials saying this?
No. Our officials are not recognizing that. Some of them, maybe here and there, but most of them don't say we're at war with the Muslims, and we are. Let's face it.
Well, there it is. Pretty blunt, huh, Mark?
Mr. Corwin, yes, it is. Thank you very much. I was just talking with my first two guests about that.
I haven't heard boo from the Muslim community.
Why do you suppose that is?
Maybe they're afraid of retribution.
I think you're dead accurate. Do you think some of them think we're not at war?
Oh, the Muslims?
Yeah.
Absolutely. They think that we're not, but we are. Whether they think so or not. Look at all the things that the Muslims are doing to us all over the world. We're at war with the Muslims, and we've got to, our leaders have to recognize that.
Why do you think they're not?
I don't know. Maybe they're afraid of the president.
The Muslims are afraid of our president?
The Muslims in our community are maybe afraid.
What do you think he'll do?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
I think...
You know, that's... Mr. Corwin, that you bring up a great point. We discussed that in the first two segments.
I haven't heard boo from the Muslim community, and I think every American should feel that way.
Interesting.
It is. It's fascinating. Alan, I'm going to have to take the phone line back. I appreciate that very much, Mr. Corwin. Thank you for being here.
He couldn't hear your comments. The phone line was only working one way.
That's okay. I want to thank him. You can do that when you are off the Armed American Radio line. But
I will
thank him for joining us on the program. It's always an honor to talk to a member of the greatest generation. It is, and you're blessed to have him. And Alan, that's a fascinating comment and a fascinating question. I was talking with that about out to Mr. Gottlieb as well, someone who you know very well. And I said, why won't they recognize it? Why don't they want to recognize it? Why won't they say it? And I'll ask you that question. Why do you think Obama will not, in his administration and any spokesperson of his administration, will not admit what 99% of the American population understands? Why?
It's complex. I think Obama's got a divided loyalty. He's not 100% on our side. His dad was from Kenya. He was raised with Muslim interests. That's clear. It's in his biography. He's shown deference to the Muslim community. He's got all sorts of reasons not to recognize what's going on. The Muslim community itself is playing their hand very adroitly and carefully. If they speak up against the Muslim jihadis, they put themselves at risk. If they lay low and the Muslims win, they're on the right side. What's the advantage to them for speaking out? There isn't one.
Well, this is an administration and a president. We've got 30 seconds, Alan, so I'll have to use this opportunity to direct people to gunlaws.com, gunlaws.com, and read everything Alan puts out. Sign up for, give him your email address, and sign up for his Page 9 blog. You will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed to read everything Alan Corwin puts out. There's nobody that does it or says it like he does. And you can tell that from listening to Alan on the program. The Alan Corwin Experience is why we gave it that name. Alan, thank you very much. We're going to continue to carry on the conversation in your absence. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. And thank your father for us.
I've got a dozen people in here with my dad, and we'll go back to it.
Go back to it. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Alan Corwin, gunlaws.com. Armed American Radio continues right after this with Mr. Larry Pratt, the executive director and the founder of the Gun Owners of America, America's first no-compromise gun lobby. Back after this.
You're at 23 laboring this?
Yes. I told you on my last call. They're in my house. Where are you guys?
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at waltherarms.com. Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
This upcoming segment of AAR is sponsored by the USCCA Education and Training Department. For your own toolkit or to become a certified instructor, visit teachuscca.com. That's teachuscca.com.
Welcome back to these Armed American Radio studios. Okay, we continue with the strongest pro-gun, pro-rights, pro-Second Amendment, pro-freedom lineup on radio today or this week that you will hear in one spot. I can promise you that. Joining me now, one of my favorite guests of all times, and you'll soon find out why, Mr. Larry Pratt is the executive director of the Gun Owners of America and a man who, let's just say, tells it like it is, and when he says no compromise, he means it. Larry Pratt, welcome to the show, my friend. Always fun to have you here.
Mark, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate being with you.
Well, and you've had a busy day. I know you were on with our great friend Tom Gresham over at Gun Talk earlier today, too, weren't you?
I guess we had recorded that earlier, but if it aired today, you betcha.
Okay, good. It did. The magic of technology. Well, we've got you live, so let's go right at it. Larry, you are one of what is no doubt the most stellar lineup on radio talking about this subject. And tonight, you cap off for us a program that started with Alan Gottlieb, continued with John Lott, moved into Alan Corwin, and now comes to you. And I want to ask you a couple of the same questions that I asked each of these individuals, and I'm looking forward to getting your answer. I want to know what the first thing that went through Larry Pratt's mind when you heard the news and confirmed the news, maybe even before you confirmed the news, Mr. Corwin was quite clear on that, that there had been an attack on our military in Chattanooga less than 80 miles from these Crossbreed Holster studios. What was the first thing that went through your mind?
The first thing was anger, because this was so preventable. And folks like us have been talking about this, and we've been trying to get members of Congress to act on this kind of problem. So far, without a great deal of success, there's something in our psyche that seems to be stuck on stupid when it comes to gun-free zones. That somehow, and I've seen people actually say this, heard people say this, well, I just feel safer thinking that there's not going to be somebody else in the room with a gun. And, of course, if God forbid somebody comes in not benignly with a gun, attempting to commit mass murder, then I think the last few seconds of emotion are anything but feeling safe.
Well said, because what that does is it embodies everything phony about a gun-free zone, doesn't it?
Oh, my. It is such a lie.
It's the big lie.
It's a deception. A very big lie. And people have been dying because of this deception. The numbers, and Dr. Lott may have tossed it out, but since 1950, all but two of our mass murders have been in these horrible gun-free zones.
And, you know, Larry, he points out, and as you well know, we know this from many of the killers' own writings, musings, and their own words that we find after the fact, because yet again, as human beings, we are powerless to detect, as A.W.R. Hawkins says on my daily show, latent criminal activity. So the absurdity of a gun-free zone when we know a criminal knows we are gun-free and they aren't is a murder zone.
Yeah, the Aurora dirtbag had reportedly gone past maybe a half a dozen theaters on foot before he got to one farther away that had that absolutely horrid sign, no guns.
That's yeah, he wrote about it. He wrote about it as well, as you know. Let me, because our time is so short, let me move quickly with you. I think, Larry, and I want you to correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I believe we may be at a watershed moment now with the gun-free zone and finally being at that, I think we're at first base of being able to eradicate these death zones, these murder zones, these killing zones, these slaughter zones. So my question to you is, we apparently have, question one, part A for you. Do you think like I do that the American people are now going to put their weight towards ending these gun-free zones because the absurdity of it is so apparent? That's the first part. Do you believe that?
You know, the fact that four Marines and now a cop, I think it was the fifth person that succumbed, but five people, all of whom would have been perfectly capable of defending themselves, and perhaps the first one could have been taken by surprise, but the rest would have almost certainly been able to act. These were combat veterans. Right. I do think that this wasn't their first rodeo. And yet we tied their hands. We allowed our elected officials to continue this kind of policy. So, frankly, this is not easy to say, but I think we all share a certain amount of responsibility. We're not the ones that pulled the trigger, so I'm not trying to say that. But we're complicit to the extent that we have not called elected officials that they better stop setting it up for people to get killed.
No, you're right. And what I want to know is, do you think that the tide might be turning? I mean, I'm seeing some rumblings from all sides now that at the very least we have to end gun-free zones at the federal and the military installations, right?
I think maybe you're right. I have that sense. It's not anything that's scientific. We haven't got a survey of members of Congress. But there's something about the horror of four young, battle-hardened Marines plus another person now just being mowed down because Diane and Feinstein doesn't like them to have guns.
Okay, so let me ask that second part of that question. Mr. Gottlieb said earlier on the show that he does not believe in, under any circumstance, will gun-hater-in-chief Barack Obama ever sign an executive order rescinding one of his beloved gun-free zones, even though it's getting our military now killed on American soil. Nor does he believe, if Congress overwhelmingly passes a bill and puts it on his desk, that he will sign it. He believes he will veto it. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's true. The president hates the military. And I'll say it. I don't think he minds them getting killed. I think he believes they have it coming to them, just like America has it coming to it, because America has been, in his mind, so evil. But there is a way to tie the president's hand. The problem is that the people that would have to tie the knot have very limp wrists. They're called Republicans. And right. What they would have to do is say in the appropriate place in the budget, none of these funds may be used to enforce gun-free zone laws.
In a defense appropriations bill, John Lott mentioned that as well, too. And yet again, John Lott did not feel that Obama would sign that either.
Well, see, so, okay, I don't either. I don't think he would sign it, but I do see ultimately him feeling forced to sign. He felt that way and did sign a measure that said none of these funds may be used to prohibit firearms in national parks.
Right, and right, near the beginning of his first term, that's right.
He signed off on that because he wanted that budget more than he wanted to see people killed in national parks. But I think something like this you could put onto a Homeland Security measure or whatever is a convenient appropriations target. And certainly if it's Homeland Security, I don't care if the president doesn't sign it and the whole bloody unconstitutional department has to shut down. That's not a problem in my mind at all. And it's been a false security that they were any good at protecting the country. I just don't buy that being unconstitutional is a good way to go.
You're hearing Larry Pratt, the executive director and the founder of the Gun Owners of America. Now you know why it is America's no-compromise gun lobby. When we come back from the break, I've got a number of questions for Mr. Pratt before this hour ends, not the least of which is I want to ask him, Larry, I'll ask you to hold off on this until we come back, but do you feel we are at war, and with who? With whom? My mother's listening. We'll be back, Armed American Radio, from the Crossbreed Holster Studios right after this. Don't go away. Larry Pratt is here. He's no compromise. Now you know why.
Folks, you know that the United States Concealed Carry Association protects responsible gun owners from jail and bankruptcy if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Well, I want to share an incident that happened to a USCCA member a few weeks ago. The member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted with a baseball bat in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and save his neighbor's life, and was arrested and held on a massive bail bond, even though he never fired a shot. Well, he used his one call to the USCCA. Not only did they post his bail, find him an attorney, and get him home to his family, they had him to work on Monday morning. Now, the USCCA has a free guide that I want to give you today to arm you with 18 things you need to know before leaving your house with a gun. Go to DefendFamilyNow.com right now to get your free copy of this life-saving guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com. Folks, you know that the United States Concealed Carry Association protects responsible gun owners from jail and bankruptcy if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Well, I want to share an incident that happened to a USCCA member a few weeks ago. The member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted with a baseball bat in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and save his neighbor's life, and was arrested and held on a massive bail bond, even though he never fired a shot. Well, he used his one call to the USCCA. Not only did they post his bail, find him an attorney, and get him home to his family, they had him to work on Monday morning. Now, the USCCA has a free guide that I want to give you today to arm you with the 18 things you need to know before leaving your house with a gun. Go to DefendFamilyNow.com right now to get your free copy of this life-saving guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Crossbreed Holsters is proud to offer an addition to our already outstanding belt selection. Introducing the Instructor's Belt. Offering the same quality as our original gun belts and dress belts, the Crossbreed Instructor's Belt offers a clean, buckle-less design intended for a sharp and professional appearance. Sturdy, but not stiff. The Instructor Belt provides even weight distribution of your gun and gear and looks as great out on the town as it does on the range. Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant. Often imitated, but never duplicated, the Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
For more information and to join the conversation, please visit Armed American Radio on Facebook and armedamericanradio.com. And now, from the Crossbreed Holster Studios, here is Mark Walters.
Back in the Crossbreed Holster Studios, I'm talking with Mr. Larry Pratt. Larry is the No Compromise founder and executive director of the Gun Owners of America. Now you know why. Larry, question for you. I asked it as we went into the break. I'll ask it now that we're back. Is America at war?
If anybody can say that we're not at war, I don't know what they think is happening. Now, we're not at war with a country the way we were with a government, a rogue government, in the last century. But we are at war with one of the most vicious religions that's ever been inflicted upon the face of the earth. Islam has as its core belief that if you don't agree with Islam, you're to be killed or to be subjected to a crippling tax or converted. Those are your three options. I don't accept any of those three. That's why I am an armed American. And I think that's increasingly coming across to people. I think that's one of the main reasons why, in addition to Ferguson and Baltimore, we are seeing an uptick in women buying guns, in people of all kinds buying guns, and it's just got to be so distressing for the gun control weenies. But violent crime is going down, too. At the same time,
right,
more and more of us per capita own guns.
And the lies from the gun-hating left continue. I wish we had more time with you. I want to stay on the – boy, I could go in just a million different directions with you, Larry, right now. I wish I could. Let me ask you this. Will you be at the Gun Rights Policy Conference in September in Phoenix?
I'm planning to, yes, sir.
Good. I'm looking forward to talking with you there. I can't wait. I will be there speaking as well. Okay. Well, I have to ask this then, because I knew how you were going to answer that question. Why won't the occupant of the People's House, the President of the United States of America, who took an oath, whose number one responsibility is to defend and protect America and her citizens. Why won't this man admit what 99% of the entire world, not just America, but the world knows? Why won't he admit it?
Well, Mr. Obama has told us that he thinks this country needs to be fundamentally transformed. That means there was something wrong with this country. Because of his Marxist upbringing, he was trained to hate America. And he's trying to do what he can, especially in his last 2 years, with no more elections that he faces. And frankly, his fellow Democrats are not going to face another election with him as a credible factor in that election. He's going to be, you know, a Hillary Clinton or a Governor O'Malley or some, you know, pick a Democrat and put him in. That's going to shift to that new face, same old views, but new face. Right. And so I think in this last 2 years, we're seeing a doubling down by this president, doing anything he thinks he can possibly get away with. And frankly, from what he's been able to ascertain the first 6 years, he can get away with just about anything. The Republicans are not willing to confront him, to use the power of the purse that the Constitution has given to them, and to say, Mr. Obama, we're turning off your money for this, that, and the other thing. And he'll come back, of course, and say, well, then I'm just going to shut down the parts of the government that you like the most, like the Veterans Administration, which he hates, and he hates veterans, and he doesn't mind that, you know, there's this horrendous waiting list for these folks to get medical attention. And so he's playing a game that the Republicans aren't willing to call him out on. And that's why we face so many problems. That's why he gets away with so much, because there's really not a loyal opposition.
Yeah, that's very frightening, and unfortunately, it's true. Unfortunately, we have example after example of where that has been the case, that making the next year and a half incredibly dangerous. So, having said right. that, let me move to the next one. Your thoughts on the latest LA Times piece about Obama using executive action to ban guns from nearly 5 million Social Security recipients? I know you've got an opinion on this one.
It is similar to what he tries to do with Obamacare by using psychiatric diagnoses as the predicate for denying, putting you in a database so that when you go to get a concealed carry permit, you're denied. When you go to buy a firearm at a store and go through the background check, you're denied. And so I can see him, what he's done is essentially proposed, I don't think it's hit quite yet, but, you want to get Social Security benefits? Well, then make sure that your home is gun-free, because otherwise the only way you're going to get to be able to keep your guns is to relinquish your claims to Social Security. In other words, you'll have to buy your right to keep and bear arms at the price of whatever Social Security you're owed. How's that for extortion? Ain't that the Chicago way?
Well, that is the Chicago way. That's the Chicago corrupt way. That's the way business has been done in Chicago since there's been a Chicago. It's why so many Chicago politicians are sitting in a prison cell right now. And unfortunately, well, let me just put it this way. I don't know how the latest ban is going to turn out. I can only hope. I said in the previous segments, Larry, that I was cautiously optimistic about the American people standing up as a whole in unison and finally eradicating gun-free zones. Look, I'll take a start at the military level, because once that happens, they'll be forced to admit gun-free zones on down the line are a farce and a joke. So I'll take that start. But when it comes to this latest quote-unquote potential executive action, I'm hopeful that Americans will rise up again. However, I'm not confident, because the media will downplay this. It will happen, as Mr. Gottlieb said, behind the scenes and under the radar, and most people won't be aware of it until it slaps them in the face.
That's very likely to be the scenario, that each person that's being zapped will think that he's alone. And unless he's conversant with the Internet and is able to use it effectively to find out that, there's a massive campaign underway by this administration to abuse those powers in that way, then people who are feeling isolated are likely to, much more likely, to simply give in. And, yeah. Okay, I'll give you my gun because I really need that Social Security.
That's so, again, it's fear. It's fear. It's using fear. Oh. Again, it is extortion. That is the definition of extortion. Larry Pratt, thank you for being here and talking with us today about this incredibly important topic, gunowners.org, gunowners.org. Mr. Pratt, you're doing exceptional work over there. We appreciate everything you've done and are continuing to do on behalf of all of us who fight for the right to keep and bear arms. Thank you so much for everything that you do. Gunowners.org. Go join these groups. You've heard an epic
conversation. Appreciate what you're doing with your show, my friend.
Thank you, Mr. Pratt. We appreciate it. You've heard an epic discussion with four incredible guests here on the Armed American Radio Network, four of the most powerful people in the pro-freedom movement. I hope you had as much fun listening to them as I had bringing them to you. Coming up in the next hour, Neil McCabe, my political analyst and Washington, D.C. Armed American Radio editor, will be here to discuss it, along with George Hill, the Mad Ogre, my firearms expert. Armed American Radio continues after this. Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club, and never let there be a gun-free zone wherever you happen to be.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.